The Torah tells us in the end of last week's parsha, the Torah says you have to bring ketoret, incense, on the golden mizbeach, the mizbeach ha-pinimi, mizbeach ha-zahav, in the Mishkan, in the Kodesh of the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash. And in this week's parasha, the Torah outlines for us the 11 samimanim of the ketoret. The ketoret is an extra special part of tefillah, but it really is a part of the Seder HaAvodah. The Sefer HaChinuch says that twice a day they had the mitzvah of the ketoret. Twice a day, every single day, they had to bring a ketoret. And then on Yom Kippur, there was an extra special ketoret done in the Kodesh HaKadashim. And it was one mitzvah of making and offering the ketoret. 11 spices, ayin the pisukim, and the various translations, the Machloket Rishonim, how to translate all the pisukim. Lots to say, lots to see. We're not going to discuss the exact definitions. If you open an art scroll Chumash, you'll find a great table, especially the Ramban, art scroll Ramban, you'll find a great table outlining for you all the Shitot. Lots to see about that. There's even a website that I'll send a link for called BeisHaMikdashTopics.com, where he actually tells you how not to make the ketoret. Because, you know, if you make a ketoret, so then you're chayav. So it's better. Oh, that's the wrong link. Okay, whatever. If you make the ketoret, you're chayav. So there we go. That's the right link. So you make a ketoret, you're chayav. Oh, we don't push the red button, sir.
Why?
No, we don't push the red button.
Why?
Because we're in the middle of something. All right.
One?
The blue one. And the blue one comes, you can push the blue one. Okay.
Blue one?
Yes. Now I want to show you the Sefer HaChinuch just to start off of what exactly is the mitzvah of ketoret all about. You know, why do we have to... Why do we have to, you know, pour perfume in the Beit HaMikdash? What kind of avoda is that? So if you look in this first source, if you can see it, I'll try to clear up there. Oh, there's a blue button. Push the blue button. Jun. Blue. Well, push it again. Good job. Push the blue button. Great. So, okay. Now, you see here, the ketoret, as outlined by the Sefer HaChinuch. If it comes up, we'll push it, okay? So it says the Sefer HaChinuch, Mishor Shei Mitzvah Zo, is Gam Ken Lahagdil Kavod HaBayit. Liyo Ma'alato Ma'alato Pnei Kol Adam. The purpose of the Ketoret is to raise the Kavod, raise the Kavod of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Mishkan, and increase its reverence in the eyes of people. V'yefshar lahagil, it's a very interesting idea. V'yefshar lahagil davar b'leiv ben adam ha-machshavto. It's impossible to make someone be more reverent about something unless you use devarim shu choshev otam legdula, things that he himself appreciates, things that he reveres and considers to be lofty, significant, honorable things. V'yimtza b'hem ta'anug v'simcha, and that he can enjoy. It's like I told you, we can go to pizza, you know, at any pizza store or like a kiosk or even airplane food. That'll be, you know, what we're serving, or we're serving, you know, the best of the best, you know, the kebab sultani that they have at Kobe Shiraz or Prime Grill, you know, best grill and best steak or whatever. That's a real deal. It's more mechubad. So taking the best perfume and putting in the Beit HaMikdash adds more kavod to the Beit HaMikdash. She says, "V'yadua ki inyan hareach hatov v'davash nefesh adam nehenet bo mitavei lav moshech alev harbe." The ketoret is just like that, and that's why we have a mitzvah to make the ketoret. So that aside, that is the reason why we have the ketoret in the first place. I want to discuss, why do we have a ketoret in our tefillah? What's the significance of the ketoret every single day? It's clearly a significant thing from the fact that it's included in the Avodah Beit HaMikdash. And by the way, we have a number of places in Tanakh where the Ketoret is a central factor of a narrative, whether it be Parashat Shemini with the Bnei Aharon or Parashat Korach with Korach Vadato. Everyone wants to bring a Ketoret. And Navi as well. And Nevi'im also, we people want to bring Ketoret. Uzziah, Azariah, Melech Yehuda brought a ketoret and became at Mitzora. We have plenty of cases where the chashivut of the ketoret is certainly highlighted. Now let's discuss, why is it that we go out of our way to say it every single day? And if you don't say it every single day, maybe you should, as we will see. We're not going to push the buttons, mister. Asher lo tziva. You only push the buttons that Hashem asks you to push, okay? That means you only bring the ketoret that Hashem wants you to bring, and you don't bring the ketoret Hashem doesn't want you to bring. It's an asay and a lav. So here... Oh, you want to push your name in? Okay, not right now, okay?
That is my name.
No, we're not pushing any names right now, mister. So not right now. We're gonna learn some Torah together, okay? So the Torah is the very first one that I know of. And there are earlier ones, the Abuderim and others. In many, many hundreds of years, the Minhag has been in Sephardic lands to recite the Ketoret every single day. When Shalom Afarim Sifatenu, we recite the Pesukim. From this week's parasha, and we recite the Braita from the Gemara and Kiritut and Yuma, right? Tan Rabbanan, Pituma Ketoret Ketzad, Rabban Shimon Gamliel, etc. That minhag is Baruch Hashem very old and very high standing. However, what do we say at the end of the Ketoret?
That means that you have that Torah.
Oh, these are my Torahs. I have a Torah here though, and I have a Torah there. We're going to read them off. Don't worry, okay? We say at the end of the paragraphs of the Ketoret, right? We say, Im chiser achat mikol samaneha. How does it go? Im chiser achat mikol samaneha. If any one of them is missing, chayav mita. Chayav mita. Rabbi Kohanim especially has to know this because he's the one who has to do this, starting as early as tomorrow morning. The Ketoret is going to be brought. He has to know how to make it properly. And if he messes it up, bar minan, it's not going to be good for the Jewish people. So, it's a big deal. So, wait a minute. Says the Mari Abuhab, if you have to bring the Ketoret, and if you miss something, you're chayav mita. So then, if you're trying to recite the tefillah word also, in place of the Ketoret offering, your tefillah is going to take its place, and you miss one of them, says the Ma'ari Abuhav, Chayav Itan, not just Rabbi Kohanim, but everybody here. That if we're not careful in how we recite the Ketoret, it could have very bad side effects. For that reason, the Rama actually says that the Minhag of the Ashkenazim is not to recite the Ketoret, except on Shabbat after Tefillah. We recite the Ketoret every single day, before Hodu, and after Shir Shel Yom, after Kaveh, and En Kelokeinu, before Aleinu. We recite the Ketoret three times a day, twice at Shacharit, and once before Mincha. Ashkenazim, the Rama says, do not recite it all during the week, only on Shabbat, because listen, people are rushing, they have lots to do. They have to go to work. They don't necessarily have time to focus. And imchiser achat mikol samaneh chayav mita. We don't want someone to be chayav mita, to be on death row, to be chayav mita for missing one of the ketoret. Now that reason is a little bit strange. Usually we don't say that, at the very least, with respect to the extra things in tefillah, not with respect to Shmoneh Esrei, that if you mess it up, you're chayav. Ravadia does say that if a person doesn't have kavanah in Shmoneh Esrei, it's like he brought a korban pagul or a pasul. So then Hashem will have to, find other ways to find zechuyot for him. But we don't say that person's chayav mita for doing it, for not having kavanah in tefillah. His reason is a little bit leaves what to be desired. And anyway, says Maran and Beit Yosef in Kuf Lamed Gimel that all you have to do is read it out of a sidur. This is not such a difficult reason that you have to avoid reciting the Ketoret. And plus, whoever said you're chayav mita for missing one of the Ketoret anyway? Maran thinks that the Ketoret is only mechayev mita if you brought it into the Mikdash, into the Kodesh, inappropriately. But if you're just creating the Ketoret, just making the mixture of the Ketoret with while missing one of them, according to Maran, would not be such a problem, at least for Rashi, maybe even in the Rambam. We'll have to discuss that another time. But just a quick recap. The Ketoret is one of the most important, as we will see, it's a very central component of many parts of the Mishkan and narratives in Tanakh. And it is so important that every single day we actually recite it in our Tefillah for Sefaradim Ashkenazim, the Rama thinks shouldn't be so ketoret happy. They shouldn't be lighting anything on fire so frequently. But even later, Ashkenazi Acharonim says, you know, from the Magen Avraham to the Mishnah Berurah to the Aruch HaShulchan, say that at the end of the day, you know, Yechidim, Talmidei Chachamim, people who are learned and not in a rush, should be saying the ketoret every single day. Even Ashkenazim, it's a very good idea for them to say it. And usually, you know, the Pri Chadash is a very, very individual thinker, very original thinker. And even he, who usually disagrees with Maran on certain topics, has a whole arichut. And Lamaskana, he says, Maran is right. We have to say the Ketoret every single day. Just the Eliyahu Rabba and the Mishnah Berurah point out that, listen, if you're only going to say it on Shabbat, then you're not even used to it. You're not even used to saying the Ketoret, so then you might actually make a mistake. We don't want that to happen. So then if you're one of those people who only recites the Ketoret on Shabbat, then you should be extra careful to only read it out of a Sidur. If you're a Sfaradi who's saying it every day anyway, then there's more room to be makel for you to say it by heart if you don't have a Sidur on you or whatever, for whatever reason. You won't make as many mistakes. Now, Mashallah Mahadavar Dome, you know, it used to be that when Dayanim would have to give a get, they would fast the entire day. And they would review all of Hilchot Gittin the day before the get, or the day of the get. Because they have to review. Now, think about it. How many Gittin did they have back then? Maybe one a year. Maybe one every 6 months. Hayom, we have a get every single day. We're very experienced. We don't fast every single day because it'll be more distracting than it'll be helpful. Obviously, review is great, but it's not as necessary as it is nowadays, as it was back then. Blue button. Oh, that's not the blue button.
Why?
No, that's not the same blue button.
Why?
You need to wait for somebody else to come, and then when it's that blue button comes, then we'll let him in, okay? Look, this is Chacham Ariel. He was here today learning Torah, and now he's back in a different yeshiva learning Torah. It's beautiful, right? Fine. Now, that was in general, there's a mitzvah of Ketoret, and there's a daily recitation of the Ketoret. But there's more to it than that. The Ketoret is such a mystically, Kabbalistically significant portion of our tefillah. And this is really where Sephardi pride makes a big difference. You know, people like to stereotype that these Syrians, they say, Potech et yadecha with such kavana, and then they're rolling in diamonds after that. And it works. It works. They give so much money to tzedakah, and Hashem pays them back. Baruch Hashem. I was sitting with one of the Rosh Hakol of Yechavidat a couple of summers ago, of Gidon and Moshe, and he told me how the Syrians, they really understand. They know it all comes from Shamayim. And therefore, they give it all to the Kololim after that also, when they get it. And you know all the money comes from Shamayim. So other people still have to learn about that more, okay? But this is really Sephardi pride, because there's so many Sephardim who take the Ketoret so seriously, and they even have a special klaf, a special parchment scroll that they read the Ketoret off of every single day. And I want to discuss tonight where that comes from, what are the benefits of it, what are the challenges that it entails. To start off, we have to discuss the Ketoret itself. Before we get to the klaf, what is the source, where does it come from that we give such significance to reciting the Ketoret every single day? So number one, there's about five different places in the Zohar where... You want to type your name? Not right now, okay?
That is my name.
I know, but maybe another time, okay?
That is my name.
You can see your name? Very nice.
That is my name.
It is your name. Good, good. Yes. Your name is not Zohar, though. We're getting close. What's your name?
That is my name.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, you wanted to learn Torah. What can I do? It's really past his bedtime. Good, okay, fine. Anyway. The Zohar says that a person who recites the Ketoret will be saved from all evil oppositions, heavenly oppositions, from Hirurim Ra'im, from terrible death, and he'll be safe the entire day. It's so easy to get yourself extra protection. You don't have to pay for any bodyguards.
Yeah.
You just have to read it slowly and with a careful attention. Another Zohar says that if only people knew how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu endears the Ketoret, it's Reach Nichoach Lashem. Every word is taken with such with such love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he rewards us in return. Anyone who listens to this Zohar, says the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon, should look at Avodah HaKetoret and have Kavana every single day. And his chelik in Olam Haba will be increased and he'll be saved from death and etc. The list goes on. What does it mean to look at the Ketoret? We're not talking about a Zman Habayit where there's a Beit HaMikdash and you can walk in and look at the Ketoret. And even if we were, how many of us would be standing close enough in the Azara? And Rabbi Kohanim could have a front row seat, but and only Ezra's a Kohen, so I don't think Ezra would get there either. But for most of us who are not Kohanim, we wouldn't have such access to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Ketoret. So what does it mean to look? So Rav Yaakov Hillel, from what I understand, and wrote that looking at the Ketoret means, at the very least, it means looking with intent, looking with kavana, thinking about the words as you say them. Not necessarily looking at a klaf, but we'll get to that also. And Zohar says further, in another place, that reading the Ketoret can nullify gezerot ra'ot, death sentences, and eradicate magefa. And you're like, wow, this is pretty good. Does it solve, like, you know, indigestion also and other problems? The answer is it can. It can do anything. The Zohar, then like, whoa, is this better than tefillah? Come on, Rabbi. Like, you can't tell me it's better than Shmoneh Esrei. And you know what? It is. The Zohar says that it's more powerful than tefillah. And the Machzor Vitri says, what's the proof for that? What do we say at Mincha every day after Ashrei before Shmoneh Esrei? Tikon tefilati ketoret lefanecha. Hashem, set up my tefillah like a ketoret lefanecha. Not like a korban tamid. Like a ketoret. See, the ketoret's the real stuff. It's more powerful than a korban tamid, like the mincha is supposed to be. And Hashem takes it very seriously. The Zohar has stories of a town that was plagued. People were dying left and right, and how one chacham came and taught them how to say the Ketoret, and they were all saved. The Tanakh in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Shamayim, when he went up on Har Sinai, he stole, or he was taught by the Malach HaMavet, by the Yetzer Hara, the segula of the Ketoret that saves from Magefa. And he used it. And that's what Aaron did in Parashat Korah. The Zohar says that the Ketoret is most beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it brings him much simcha. Unlike other korbanot, which are brought for doing an avera, a chatat, an asham, an ola, a Ketoret is purely brought for Hashem's simcha. And Rabbeinu Bechai said,
why is the, if it's so important, like you're saying, Zohar says it might even be more important than tefillah, and yes. Why is it positioned in our davening in such a place where, you know, by Ketoret, people are already taking their talit and tefillin off, they're already like on their way out. Right. And then the other time it is for both the beginning of Shachri and beginning of Mincha, people are running late into Shachri, okay. People are running late into Mincha. So again, people skip it there too. So if it's that important, I would think maybe put it like, you know, in between Shema and Amidah or right after Aminah, before Tachanun, something like that. In a better place where people would say will be more prone and have more Kavana that way.
It's a great Ha'ara. It's a great Ha'ara. How come the Chachamim did not institute that Torah should have a more prominent location in our Seder HaTefillah? I don't have an answer for that question. It's a very good question. It could be that it's related to the actual Seder HaMa'aracha. Abayi have a Mesader Seder HaMa'aracha, Mishma di Gemara Ve'aliba Darba Sha'ul. Every day we list the whole Seder. Yes, the five candles they lit in the menorah, whereas, and the two candles of the menorah were bookending the Ketoret. It could be that we want the Seder of the Shacharit, where we say all the other things, we say all the other parashot of the Korbanot, is the right time to say the Ketoret. It could be. I don't have the requisite familiarity of Masechet Yuma, though, to give you a clear answer, though. I think, though, that if you look in there and look at how that's structured, it could be that it should be the way you're saying, Ezra. But because, just from the technicality of how our tefillah is already structured, it can't be.
It's amazing that you're giving this class today. Like yesterday, I was asking a couple of guys, like, where's a good place to get klaf ketore? I was asking some of the boys. And like the reason why you're giving this class is because of the parsha that's talking about it this
week? It's a few reasons. Number one, Daniel, this is going to make too much noise. I'm sorry. You can't play with this now, okay? You can play with it over there, but not over here. You can play with it in the kitchen. It's too much noise, okay? I'm sorry.
See? Rabbi, is saying the ketoret a chiyuv, like tefillah?
Yeah, saying the ketoret every single day is one of the most important things of tefillah. Meaning, other than...
But the shulchan doesn't bring it down as a chiyuv for an individual to say it, does he?
It's in Siman Aleph of Orach Chaim that we have a minhag that we're supposed to say the ketoret every single day, along with the korban tamid and Ezel Mekoman, Rabbi Ishmael. But back to what Ezra was saying, just for a second, the reason why I'm doing this today is because I was planning on doing this like a month ago. It didn't happen.
But it pretty much works out perfectly because this week is where the Torah talks about it.
Yeah. Right. So then on Shabbat morning, as I was recovering from having a baby and sleeping during Kriyat HaTorah, I woke up and was given Shavi'i. I woke up to my brother-in-law peeking into my talit hood, like, you know, like, literally see him in my hood, and like, what? And then he's like, you're getting Shvi. So I got up, I got an aliyah, and that was the ketoret. That was the tzibui. I'm like, okay, Hashem wants me to give this chavura today. So I'm giving this chavura now. In terms of whether or not it's an absolute chiyuv like Shmoneh Esrei versus not, it's not an absolute chiyuv like Shmoneh Esrei, but it's pretty far up there to the point that if you were telling me, and this happens to me a lot sometimes, depending on what time I get to shul, if it's a toss up between starting Baruch She'amar and getting through all Pesukei DeZimra without having to skip, but then I have to skip the Ketoret, versus say the Ketoret, say the Tamid, say Ezel Mekoman, but skip Az Yashir and Vayivarech David, I tell you 100% no question, every single day, skip Az Yashir and Vayivarech David. No question at all. And it's not me saying that, it's this guy, the Maamar Mordechai, saying that in Siman Nun Gimel. Because
I don't think anyone does that, Rabbi.
I think not enough people do it because they don't realize that Vayivarech David is maybe a 700, 800 year old minhag. And the Ketoret is much older than that. And Zohar and everything. And the same thing with Az Yashir. Yes, Ariel.
Is the Ketoret by Mincha have the same like important status as like the two Ketorets in the morning by Shachri?
So my impression is yes. My impression is yes. It could be that there are communities that they only said it in the morning and not at Mincha, but I don't think it changes anything. Like as long as you're saying the Ketoret by Yom. Huh?
If a mincha starts at like early mincha, like on the dot, and like isn't it like you're just like reading more pasukim because you're before
right.
You're before zman mincha.
Right. I have this problem in YU every day that I daven mincha gedola at chataya I maskir. Sometimes I daven mincha gedola in YU and not later. So you have to realize whose mincha gedola are they using, especially in the winter where the zmanim are shorter, the hours are shorter. The Mishnah Berurah says you should be machmir and never do less than 30 minutes of an hour for after chatzot for Mincha Gedola. So be'emet, Mincha Gedola can be 5 or 10 minutes earlier than what it says on the schedule. And you're starting later. So you really do have time. And b'di'avad, you can either say the ketoret afterwards, or you can be so much on those who say you can say the korbanot before Mincha Gedola, a few minutes before Mincha Gedola anyway.
Rabbi, if someone just does the Lam Natzeach in the shape of the menorah, are they Yotzev fulfilling the mitzvah of saying the Ketorah?
No, Lam Natzeach menorah is a separate thing. We'll discuss that. Is that Hashem Blinether next week? Lam Natzeach menorah. It's a separate thing. But I thought you were going to ask, huh?
I was going to say, to what point of you saying it would be someone be Yotze of saying it?
Very
is it Yotze in its entirety, or there's someone for that's running late?
At the very least, you got to say this guy, the first parak here, the first chapter of
from Vayomer.
At the very least, you got to say Vayomer, I think. If you want to say the rest of it, no bechavod, but you want to, I think at the very least, Vayomer, the very first parak, the actual Tanakh part of it, is a chiyuv. More than the rest. If you can say more, say more. I don't think that there everyone every always said. I'm gonna put it back there. I don't think everyone always said Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, for example. I don't think everyone always said, I don't know, Tani Bar Kapara. But you do have to say Hashem Tzvaot Imanu at the end. Those three Hashem Tzvaot, we always say after the Ketoret and from the Arizal. Right. How much you got to say. But yeah. Now, back to the benefits of saying the Ketoret, Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Rishon, says in his Perash al Torah that the timing of the bringing of the Ketoret is an eighth ratzon. Because just like the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur would go into the Kodesh HaKadashim, bring the Ketoret, and then he would daven, so too we see that whenever the Ketoret is being brought, it's an appropriate time for us to pray. The Ben Ish Chai says there's so many benefits. You just have to have Kavanah Gedolah, because it's B'makom Korban. And you should even, the fact that there is a count and you indicates how important it is, you should count it with your fingers, right? Hatzori, Hatzipor, Nechelbana, Velevona. Can you count to 10? Show them 10? You know how to show them 10? You know how to show them 11? I don't think you have 11 fingers, right? Can you, so, et cetera. Count with your right hand, says the Ben Ish Chai. It's more misugal. Plus, that's 3. Very nice. We have more than 3, right? So, you have to use your right hand. It's more misugal. That's what they use in the Beit HaMikdash. And the Kafachaim adds from the Chidah and others that it gives Hashem Nachat Ruach. It's not for you, it's for Hashem. The whole purpose of bringing the Ketoret. And if they don't say it where you're saying, where you're praying, you're diving in Ashkenazi Minyan, like Ariel said, you don't always have time. Mincha Gedola. So you have to find a way to say it privately. The Noda Avuda says in the mornings, we say the second Ketoret after Enkel Okeinu. What does that have to do with the Ketoret? He says the Ketoret is a segula for Ashirut. That's where, you know, all the money comes from Potech et Yadecha and the Ketoret. So if you want to have, I think it's also a segula for Zikaron, other things, look in the Sidurim, it says all the segulot, and the Rav Sternbach says that a couple that wasn't having children, he told them to say the Ketoret, and they conceived, Baruch Hashem, and Chelek Aleph of Teshuvah v'Hanhagot. The segulot are endless. The Noda Avuda says, we say Enkel Okeinu first to remind ourselves. It's all from Hashem. It's not Kochi Ve'otzem Yadi, where that all of this comes from. And the Midrashim go on and on and on with different things that they give us. You know, I know that in Greatneck he's very popular, Rabbi Zabichi. Rabbi Pinchas Zabichi is very popular in Greatneck, from what I understand. Ateret Paz. Aaron Levion, I believe, has like a whole shelf or 3. Of his Sidurim and Sefarim in his parents' basement. Maybe it's moved out of his parents' basement by now. But I think in 54, they have like tons of his like Sidurim and stuff all over the place also. Pinchas Zabichi is a character. He doesn't write Sefarim only on Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Mazeh, Birkat Rafael, yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. So
great Tehillim and books.
There you go. He has lots of stuff. He has Tehillim. He's like, the way Dr. Hakimi and Tinek told me, is he is the world authority on the Ketoret. He is the world authority on the Ketoret. Be'ezad Hashem, tomorrow morning, Kobe's going to be bringing the Ketoret in the Beit HaMikdash. We still have time. It's only 9:30 p.m. Hopefully tomorrow morning, Mashiach will be here and we'll be building Beit HaMikdash. We'll be making Mizbeach and HaZahav. We'll bring some gold from Great Neck if we don't have enough in Yerushalayim. And everyone's stuff is in Great Neck Road anyway. So it's not like, and Cotter Mill. So it's not like it's that far. You don't have to go to Manhattan to get it. We'll make a Mizbeach and a Choshet. And we'll bring a Ketoret. So Rabbi Zabichi will be standing there or outside of the Mikdash, outside of the Azara, and telling everybody what to do. Identifying everything, making sure they're making it correctly. He wrote an 1,100-page sefer, Mizahav o Mipaz, 1,138 or 34 pages on the Ketoret. It's like unbelievable. Like, you literally have to like dedicate your life to such a topic.
Rabbi, one more question about the importance of it. If a person is running late at Mincha and he says it every day, but let's say it's either start with the Sibur or continue reading. What does he choose?
Start with the Sibur. Yaakov Yosef says start with the Sibur. And if you have time, if it's before Shakia, after that, you can keep, you can go back and say it. If it's after Shakia, I don't think you can go back anymore. You're not supposed to say the Ketoret at night. It's Me'orer Dinim. Maybe during Manash Mashot it's okay, but I'm not sure.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Rabbi, to say the Ketoret in the morning before Hodu.
Yeah.
We might need to get to Beit Knesset a little earlier, right? And can we say it? Can we say it like at home or like right after we say Brachot HaShachar and stuff? Can we like before? Can we without tefillin and stuff like that?
Yes, Tomer, you can say if a person. Let's go best of the best. Best of the best is a person gets to shul early. He puts on his tefillin. And he says everything from the Akedah until Aleinu L'Shabeach, and then he learns for an hour. That's the best of the best. Not everyone has the time to do that or the energy to do that every single day. I'll tell you what I do. I'm not telling you I do the best thing. What I do is I usually say brachot at home, and then I start the Akedah, and I get through Abaye, or the Ribono Shel Olam, after the Ketoret, like by the time I'm in shul, by heart, usually. Meaning I'm like changing my kids' diapers, getting them dressed. Abba, yeah.
What that? What that? You reading it the idea.
This book? The Torah? Okay, but right now we can't get anything else, okay?
What that?
I'm not sure what he wants
right now. Want over there and over there.
Over there? Okay. So this thing?
No.
Okay, we'll look for it later, okay? Oh, you want the stickers?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Rabbi, does a person have to have his hands washed like he does for tefillah? Like, but he can tie his shoes and say, then read the Ketoret?
And it's like Torah. You can't learn Torah if you've touched your shoes either. So you have to obviously have your hands clean.
Right.
Whatever you hold by cleaning, which we'll talk about another time.
All right. Can you imagine you change your kids' diapers and say it at the same time?
No, I change the diaper, wash my hand, and I keep going. I wouldn't... I misspoke. Not while. No. Which, by the way, could be mutar anyway, but another time.
It's open.
Yes, Daniel. All right. So now, but you could say it by heart. I'm not saying it's the best thing because it doesn't enable you to have a lot of kavana. I try learning, preparing this chavura over the months that I've had this going in my files has encouraged me to pay more attention, but I don't do the best job. This chavura is also musar to me to do a better job, to have kavana. But I'm not going to be able to have time to say it all beforehand unless I wake up half an hour earlier. So it's a difficult thing to... And I won't have the time to say it all in a sidur, from a sidur, unless I have a half an hour earlier. So it's a cheshbon I have to make. Very true. But I think, Tomer, you could say it at home. You don't have to have your tefillin on. As long as you're trying your best to have kavana, you're good. And it's a segula. It's a segula for banim. It's a segula for osher, teshuvah. And there is a chumrah, tova, if someone can. I'm not saying you have to, or make it even a priority.
Putting on the table.
I'm going to put it on the table. You can have one of each color, and then that's it, okay?
A blue one.
You want the blue one? Okay, you can have the blue one. These are Abba's page flags for his Torahs. So you can't take them away, otherwise he won't have anything to put in his Torahs. Okay? So, and then Rabbi Zabichi says it's important enough for women to also say it every single day. Even if a woman doesn't have time to say the rest of the Korbanot, she should still say the Ketoret, he says. Now, the last 10 minutes, I want to discuss the Klaf. Where does it come from that we recite the Ketoret on the Klaf? Where is it going? Is this a proper minhag? Is it not a proper minhag? Well, it all starts with Rav Moshe ben Machir, who was the Mikubal, the author of the Seder Avodah, Sefer Seder HaAvodah. He lived at the same time as Maran, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Arizal. And he writes that a person should say the Ketoret every single day with intense concentration from a klaf. And Hashem will be on his side. Hashem will take care of him. And he ends off with two very important words. Vani Arev. I will be his guarantor that everything it says in the Zohar will come true for him. As long as you read off of a klaf. Once a day in the morning, once in the afternoon, with tremendous kavana, and it's all good for you. This is repeated by the Chavot Yair and a great Ashkenazi posek. It is repeated by Rav Chaim Falaji.
It's one right, I have to put it right there.
It's going to stay there for now, okay, Jinjin?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Chaim Palagi repeats this in Kaf HaChaim and in Ruach HaChaim on Shulchan Aruch. As long as you read from a klaf, an ashurit, like a Sefer Torah, you'll have hatzlacha in all of your endeavors. Can you imagine the mishaberach that people give? Hatzlacha, beracha, in, on, every single thing. Hatzlacha in all of your endeavors, guaranteed, good, comfortable cash flow. This is where the money comes from. From saying the Ketoret with Kavana. And the Kaf HaChaim, Rav Chaim, Yaakov Chaim Sofer quotes this. This is a minhag that has been going on for generations. Comes Chacham Avadia. Comes Chacham Avadia and says it's against a specific, explicit Seif in Shulchan Aruch. Why? What's wrong? The Gemara in Gitin talks about an Asamich writing a Megillah for a Tinok. This little Daniel Jun doesn't have a Sefer Torah. He doesn't, and I don't have $45,000 to buy him a Sefer Torah. I don't even have a Sefer Torah of my own. And if every single person wanted his own Sefer Torah to learn from, it would cost a lot of money. So what do? We write Megillot, we write Chumashim, we write smaller scrolls that have specific segments on them that we can learn from. And the Gemara asks, are you allowed to do such a thing? Are you allowed to write a Megillah for Tinok Leit Lamed? Megillah meaning just a section of the Torah? The Gemara seems to say no.
We're not Tinokot.
Okay, good point.
And now we're 13 enough.
That's true, but I don't think it's the Tinok part that's the parameter that would change everything. It's the Leit Lamed part that might, but I don't think it's Tinok is going to change anything. The Tinok is just, you know, he's not going to hold the whole Sefer Torah. You and I should, okay? So the Gemara scene has a discussion. It seems to say no. It seems to say asur. And in fact, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch based on the Rambam. It's true. The Rif seems to say Paskins explicitly. It's mutar against the Gemara. And everyone's like, where did that come from? It's against the Gemara. So then the Rishonim have a whole, you know, conversation trying to figure out where is the Rif coming from that it's mutar. And the Rif is basically the only one who's Mekel. He might have a few who are Mekel along with him, or maybe they're just explaining him. Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam that it's Asur. Many, many Rishonim say it's Asur. But the Shach, the Taz, the Bach, so many Acharonim say, excuse me, look at the book. Look, we have Svarim. And not just printed ones. Printed is nothing. Printed doesn't count. There's no Kedusha or fake Kedusha with printed. We write Megillot all the time. We write Svarim all the time. It's actually part of the sugya itself, just a different part of the sugya. It's the only way for us to learn. We're not all going to be able to have a Sefer Torah and to learn from. So, Shulchan Aruch, what's your problem? Okay, says Chacham Avadia. There might be a problem, but we hold like Shulchan Aruch. So, some say we're Samech on the Rif. Some say that maybe Shulchan Aruch himself believes that the Rif is right, because if you look in the Beit Yosef, he gives reasons, explanations for the Rif. But Chacham Avadia says, not right now, Daniel, okay? Chacham Avadia thinks, you're going to have to keep it for now, okay? I want to put it away? Very nice. Okay, you can put them away. The Rivash thinks that even the Shulchan Aruch and others can be Mekel when it's not for learning. If it's not for learning, just for a segula, then it's permissible. So, Chacham Avadia's maskana, he doesn't take such a harsh stance on this. He just quotes the opinions, quotes even a lot of the Mekel ones. The maskana Chacham Avadia says he doesn't think it's a good idea. Don't get involved. But if a sofer already wrote a klaf for you, a ketoret scroll for you, and you know you want to buy it, you can buy it and you can use it. So I saw this when I was a kid. I told my grandfather to buy me a Ketoret scroll. So he went and he asked the store owner, and the store owner didn't understand what he meant. So he bought me this massive, massive scroll. I can't carry this around the shul with me every day. It's too big. So I had it framed, and I say it when I'm at home. I used to take it to Hank every single day when I was in high school, but I didn't want to get it damaged, so I stopped. So I leave it at home, and I say it when I'm at home, and I say the Ketoret at home, and I have time off of this.
Okay, and in the frame or without the frame?
With the frame.
Oh my gosh, wow.
It's not Masik, it's just hanging on my wall.
No, I know people that have your style. Actually, my dad has it that size, maybe a little smaller. And it's like rolled up in a rubber band or right. whatever. You put it in like one of those.
Right. Make it look good.
Yeah.
So I used to do that when I was in high school. I was like such a tear. If I took, I left it in my tefillin bag. If my tefillin bag fell, it's not in the case.
You can put it in the tefillin bag.
I needed to put it somewhere. Put it in a bag, something. It get ruined. But I just left it at home. Chacham Avadia thinks it's not a good idea. But even he himself, Rav David Yosef says, even he himself used to say it off of a klaf every single day for the lion's share of his life. Just later in life, he thought that people were getting the vibes from him that it's okay to write it in the first place, so he stopped. He stopped. Rav David Yosef and Rav Yitzchak Yosef also tried to write articles on this topic. If you look in the back of Halacha Brura, in Otzrot Yosef, in the volume on Siman Kuf Lamed Bet, I think it's Zion or something, he tries to make a triple sfik sfika to be Mekel. And he told Rav Avadia about it, and Rav Avadia's like, no, don't bother. We don't do this. The Rambam is Machmir, we're Machmir also. And Rav Yitzchak Yosef also, he brings up all the kulot that people have. Some say that if you do it for learning, it's okay. It's a problem, but for eight lasod Hashem, it's okay. Here, maybe cave under hutra hutra. Maybe there's another Gemara in Yivamot that sounds like it's okay. And plus, maybe if you only write three words at a time, it's okay. Various kulot. Mamaskana Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef says, get out. This is Talmud Torah. It's a braita. You're reading it. It's not a script. You're not saying a chalitza script of, you know, Hatar Nedarim or how to do chalitza. What eight lasod Hashem? You can learn Torah without a scroll. Kidding me? It's a segula. You don't need this to live. It's a segula. Focus on the halacha, not on the segulot. And the Ravadio, therefore, and his sons, therefore, are not the biggest fans. Now, Rav Moshe Halevi says, it's just pisukim, it's okay. More than a few psukim would be a problem. You want to write a whole parsha? Forget about it. But a few psukim is not a problem. Rav Chaim David Halevi Nasel Charav says, Ma'asim b'chol yom, this is what we do. Chasidim and Anshei Ma'aseh, there's no chashash, it's fine. Rav Sternbach, three places in Teshuvah Hanago, talks about it. He thinks that here it's necessary, it's okay. When it's unnecessary, like Ariel was saying, for a tinok, what does a tinok need to have ashurit for? What does a tinok need to have a klaf for? You can write it on paper. But when it's necessary, like here, for the segula, it's necessary. They're gedolei olam, who's telling it's a huge segula, so do it. And we'll hold like the riff, eight lasod Hashem and mutar. Alternatively, it's only asur if you could make a sefer Torah out of it. Here, you're writing a braita next to it. You're not making a sefer Torah out of this, and therefore, it would be mutar. There are many who say the minhag is to make a, like, look, we have ketubot that we can write pisukim on all the time. Clearly, the minhag is to be makel on this. Plus, maybe some say you can use the Beit Yosef. Rav Schechter thinks that it's no different from reading out of a chumash. Since it's not a sefer shalem, he thought that it's not really going to get you anywhere. And okay, beseder. All in all, if you have one, go for it. Pay attention. Have kavana. Make millions. And then give a commission to your local Orthodox synagogue for, you know, all the Torah and all the tefillah that you have in it. If you don't, use a sidur. You get just as much sachar and for having tremendous kavana with a sidur as well. It's just an extra segula for this. And Be'ezad Hashem, we should all be zocher to all the segulot in the Ketoret and more. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen. You want to say something, Daniel June? You want to say a Torah? No, you're good? Okay. Any questions? All good. You guys all ordered your Ketoret on Amazon? Be here tomorrow.
Is
that a show?
I wanted to ask, is there like a preference in the style of the writing? Like, people go crazy when it comes to the Kitab. Like,
yeah, I'm not a sofer. I don't have the...
Like, I don't even know what to look for, you know? Like, I'm like, okay, everything's right. Nice. Everything's not nice. Right. I don't know.
No, there. First of all, there is a book called Inside Stam, which came out a few years ago, which is a beginner's guide to knowing the Stam market. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Number two, Rav Elbaz has a friend who's a sofer. Maybe he can tell you more about what's available. And number three, you have to realize that there's no mitzvah here. It's not like there are any halachot.
So yeah, that's also true.
Whatever you want, and it's kosher as long as it's on in Ashurit and on the klaf. Now that's not really true though. It's not really true though because maybe the segula depends on it really being like a sefer Torah. So you'll have to make sure, but I don't think like, you know, you need to have the biggest Yirei Shamayim of a sofer for this though. Can be anybody probably. But I'm not in the market, I don't know. I got this like 15 years ago when I was a kid. I didn't even know what I was asking for myself. I just said, you know, Baba, can you buy me a Ketoret scroll? And he said, sure. Yeah. You know, that's a good question, Ezra. I don't know.
Where did you get it? I'm just curious.
He has a Judaica store in LA. So his supplier is a store and distributor in Tel Aviv. And he probably has a sofa that he uses. So I don't know exactly where he got it from. I don't know if the guy himself knew what I was asking for. When I said, he called up his sofa and said, and then Ketoret goes like, okay, I have this one. It costs this much. Okay, fine. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, Ezra, but it's interesting that you're interested this week of all weeks to get a Ketoret.
Yeah, I know. I just like yesterday, I was like, I need to get it already. Finally, I need to get this Ketoret thing. I think also, like, if you have a klaf, you have a nice klaf, and you know, you put money into it, and it means a lot to you, so you're going to be more. You're going to be more inclined to say it also than just saying
absolutely.
It'll be like a nice thing, you know?
Yeah. I forgot to mention that Rav Mordechai Levar from Los Angeles. Rav Mordechai Levar is the Rosh Kol of Link in LA. And he says that getting the Ketoret scroll and investing, I think it's like $900, I don't know honestly, $600, investing the money in the Ketoret scroll will make you pay attention because you made an investment. Yeah, the blue goes on the blue and the green goes on the green. Mine is big, but I don't know how much it costs. I think I heard that somewhere once. But anyway, it's a big segula. Inshallah, we should all, you know, use it properly. As I said, I'm also giving myself musar and encouraging myself to have more kavana through the Torah learning that we did tonight. And I'm looking forward to Bezat Hashem. Next week, we'll talk about the Lam Natzeach, the Shiviti Minora, Bezat Hashem, okay?
Rabbi, quick question.
Please. These are my Tomer.
Hey, Rav, see you. Thank you
Megillah,
so much.
Megillah should be also more on a scroll, right?
Megillah has to be on a scroll, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Megillah has to be on a scroll. That needs a sofer. But it's the easiest one to do. So if you want to become a sofer, you would start with that.
Rabbi, if somebody was writing a Ketoret, is it the same laws as writing like a mezuzah, or is it more lenient, less lenient?
I think it's
like
more
if they make a mistake.
I think it'd be more lenient. You can make mistakes and erase it and go back and do things over. I just don't know how nice it would look. You know, you want to make sure the guy's kitab is good.
Right.
And I think it's fine. I think I saw something that inside Stam book about how to make a Ketoret scroll. I don't remember anymore. I have to go double check. But I'm sure, let me know what Rabbi Elbaz says when you ask him tomorrow, or whenever you ask him, when you see him tomorrow, if you ask him about Ketoret scrolls. See what he says.
Let's buy them together. We got a better deal.
Huh?
I'm talking to Ezra, I said, let's buy them together. We got a better deal.
Yeah, you should. Why not? Why not? Group order. Group order.
Count me in.
There you go. I don't think you need to have the biggest one. No one talks about the size. Get a little small one, you know, in the pamphlet. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Okay. Thank you, guys. Shavua Tov. Hatzlacha Rava. See you next week. Be'ezrat Hashem. Say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You wait. And blow a kiss.
When am I going to get kisses from you?
A kiss?
No, that's so cute.
Thank you. All right. Erev Tov. Bye.